Well, welcome to the church at Woodbine. My name is Doug Jones, and I am the campus and teaching pastor. And today is October 1st. We had a couple people hoot and holler about October. I was one of them. But my birthday is in December. Hey, it's right after Jesus' birthday. So that's the real month right now. I'm just teasing. No, today is October 1st. And if you've been part of our church family for several years, and if you're paying attention, we start what we call a vision series during the month of October to talk about where do we feel that God is leading us as a church. And if you don't know, we're part of Brentwood Baptist Church. We have 9 campuses now, and we've also had a significant change in our church leadership over the past several months, where we now have a new senior pastor. His name is Jay Strothers, and a lot of you have prayed for me for my sermon today. Well, I'm not preaching, but I do appreciate the prayers. And God commands you, the church, to pray for your leaders. So please pray for me daily. Pray for our church staff. Pray for our deacons. Also pray for our senior pastor, Jay. And so he will be sharing today. We'll watch him on screen. It's the only time that we do this all year long. But he will preach what God has laid on his heart for the vision of our church. And then afterwards, I'll preach a good 45 minutes after that. So we're going to be last in line at the buffet. So just be ready. But Jesus says, the last shall be first in his kingdom. So I introduce to you all, Jay Strothers. There'll be a sermon bumper and a brief introduction, and then he will preach. So Hunter and Chris.
Good morning to all the campuses of Brentwood Baptist Church. I'm Jay Strother, your new senior pastor. And I want to say thank you for all your prayers and your supports over these months as we begin to take this step and as I take the baton of leadership from senior pastor Mike Glenn. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 16 and 17 today as we begin to step into this new chapter and into this new moment. You know, it was 22 years ago today, it's October the 1st of 2001, that I became a staff member at Brentwood Baptist Church. And I had no idea at the time all that God would have in store. At the time, we were one campus at 409 Franklin Road. We had about a dozen staff members. My first opportunity was to go on a staff retreat, and we all fit in a little bed and breakfast in Mount Eagle, Tennessee. And so what an incredible journey it's been over these past 22 years to see us grow from one campus to 9, to see us move to 7777 Concord Road and all the ministries that would be birthed out of Brentwood Baptist Church. We had no idea all that God was going to do in those moments. And you know, it would be tempting at this point in the history of our church to kind of step back and say, man, look what we've done. We've got 9 campuses. We have over 40 global workers. We have dozens of Hope for the World mission partners. We have had the opportunity to send so many people on mission and in ministry. Look at all the things we've done. Maybe we're looking for some new, novel, fancy ways of doing ministry. Maybe that would be our temptation in this moment. But really, nothing could be farther from the truth. Because the reality is, in a moment like this, what we want to be sure that we're rooted in is our first value, gospel first and always. You see, it's always about the fundamentals in the kingdom of God. It's always about being sure that we know who we are, what we believe, and where that comes from in God's word. And so it's football season. Most of you are rejoicing. It's one of your favorite times of the year. And so recently I read a story that reminded me about the importance of fundamentals. And so there's the story of the legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers, Vince Lombardi. It was July of 1961. His team had just lost in heartbreaking fashion the NFL championship to the Philadelphia Eagles in a fourth quarter collapse the season before. Most of their players were returning, and they were excited about the season to come. They figured what we probably need is a few new wrinkles, maybe a few new trick plays, maybe we'll upgrade it a couple of positions, and we'll be good to go. But Coach Lombardi shocked this veteran team when he opened up the first day of training camp by saying, "This, gentlemen, is a football. Now turn to page one of your playbook." And he made them start with page one of the playbook, talking about blocking, how to tackle, how to run, how to pass. He rebuilt the team on the fundamentals. That team would go on to win the NFL championship that year, beating the New York Giants by a score of 37-0. From that point forward, Lombardi's teams won the next 5 of 7 NFL championships. They would never again have a losing record under his coaching, and he went undefeated in the playoffs the rest of his career. Why? Because they got back to the fundamentals. And one thing that the Holy Spirit will never do will allow the church to get away from the fundamentals of the gospel. God never allows us to get over the gospel. He only takes us deeper into it. The Apostle Paul knew that. And as he wrote to the church at Romans, he wanted them to know that so that they would join him in the mission to get the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth. So church, would you stay with me today, wherever you're at? And let's read Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 together. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, 'The righteous will live by faith.'" Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Pray with me this morning. Lord Jesus, as we step into this vision series, we know that our job is not to manufacture vision for you. Our job is to align our churches, our congregations, our campuses with your vision. And that vision is to get the good news to the ends of the earth. So would we be reminded of that fundamental truth today, that we didn't invent the gospel, but you gave it to us as a gift. And now it's a gift that we want to get to others. So Lord, as we enter this new series, this new chapter, this new season, would you be with us and help us to be obedient to your word? We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray these things. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. You know, I've spent some time reflecting in these past weeks as I've moved into this role about the conversations that we had across all the campuses earlier this spring. After it was announced I was candidate for senior pastor, I had the opportunity to visit many of your campuses, and we had regional town hall meetings where I got to answer questions, interact with many of you, and it was a fun time. And you know, one of the things that I was most encouraged by was that, quite frankly, I expected as I toured the campuses to get some questions. "Hey, new guy, we need more space. We need more parking. We need more budget money. We need more staff. Like, what are you going to be able to do to help us?" But instead, the questions I got were along the lines of, "Hey, we're one great big church family spread out over 9 campuses and many mission partners in Middle Tennessee. What's your vision of how we all stay united? How do we stay together in it as we're on this journey?" And I can think of nothing that unites us the way that the gospel does. And so why we wanted to spend the first 3 weeks this fall in this series talking about the gospel. We're going to be focusing on it and then how it permeates all of our strategy and all of our ministries. Because as a church, we recognize that the great unifier through the power of the Holy Spirit is the mission that's been entrusted to us by Jesus. The imperative in the Great Commission is to make disciples. And so number one, we will be a gospel-centered church. Well, we're going to be a gospel-centered church. If you look with me back to verse 1 of chapter 1 of Romans, look at the way that Paul introduces himself before he lays out this magnum opus of incredible theology and applied theology. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle and set apart for the what? Gospel of God. I love that Paul identifies himself, first of all, as a servant of Jesus, called as an apostle. That word literally means sent ones. You see, Paul understood the Great Commission and its importance. He understood that we're all sent to share the good news of Jesus with others. And he understood his calling as one who is set apart for what? The gospel of God. And so here's what's so interesting to me, that Paul immediately points away from himself and to the gospel of Jesus. And even in his introduction, which is just one run-on sentence in the original language, he gives kind of a quick gospel analysis. What is the origin of the gospel? Well, it's God himself. It's a gift. The gospel is something that God invented, not the mind of man. It's not the way I would have chosen to save the world. It's probably not the way you would have thought up either. But there's good news. There is a God, and we're not him. And so God has given us this gift of the gospel, which in verse 2, he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. You see, this gospel was promised. It is the fulfillment of God's promises. Do you know how many cross-references there are between the Old and New Testaments? Some scholars have figured this out. There are 63,779 of them. In other words, 63,000 plus times God made a promise in the Old Testament. He keeps it in the New. Jesus was the fulfillment of everything that God had promised. And so the object of the gospel is his son. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is a descendant of David according to the flesh. In other words, Jesus is fully human. In the incarnation, he stepped out of heaven and into history. He identified with us. He came to us when we could not get to him, but he's also fully God and was appointed to be the powerful Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. And so through him, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. This is the goal of the gospel. The people who hear it, who receive it, would respond in obedience, in faith, that we would turn from our sin and ourselves to Jesus as Savior for the sake of his name among all the Gentiles. What is the scope of the gospel? It's all nations. And so our mission is to join Jesus in his, that we start where we're at and we don't stop until every tribe, language, people, and tongue have heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And we don't do it for our glory. We do it for what? The sake of his name. We're not here to promote the name of Brentwood Baptist Church. We're not here to promote the name of your campus or your campus pastor. We're here to bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. That's what we're about as a church. And so one of the ways that I want you to remember this is every time that you see our church logo. Some of you might have overlooked this, but intentionally at the heart of every campus logo is a cross. Why? That's because everything we do as a church is to point not to ourselves, but to Jesus. Just as Paul models for us in the introduction to Romans, it's not about us. We're simply servants of Jesus, and our job is with our lives and with our words, with everything that God's entrusted to us, is to point to the cross of Jesus. Likewise, the energy for our mission flows out of the cross. Just as God gave Jesus to us, so we give of ourselves to make him known. So every time you see even the logo of our church, every time you hear that mission statement, we want you to know that it's all about Jesus. Which brings us to our second point this morning, which is this. We will, as a church, engage the whole person and the whole world with the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to be about. I love our mission statement because it's active. It calls for us to engage. And if we go down to verse 16, the verses that we read just a few moments ago, we see Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation. It is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes." That word power in the original language is where we get the English word dynamite. Now, I know English wasn't around in the first century, But it's interesting to me that the framers of the English language, right, pulled back and said, this is the word, right, that we want to use. Why? Because this word for power means it's explosive. It changes things. Down at the Station Hill campus, where I've been officing until this week, they're building a new road nearby. And every afternoon, our entire building shakes. Why? Because they've put some sticks of dynamite in the ground as they are blasting for that new road. And so even just a few sticks of dynamite, right, shake the earth everywhere around it. And in the same way, the gospel of Jesus Christ shakes things up in the best way possible. Strongholds come down. Addictions are broken. Fears cease. The gospel of Jesus has the power to change your life and mine. The gospel of Jesus has a power that we have forgotten can change communities, can change neighborhoods, can change our country, can change the world. I love what D.L. Moody says, the famous pastor, in the first part of the 20th century. He said, the gospel is like a lion. What a great word picture. What the preacher has to do, right, is preach it, and let the gospel out of the cage, because you never know what it's going to do, but it's going to have an impact. It's going to change lives. So in the next coming weeks, we're going to talk about being sure that we know the gospel, that we know what it is, and that we know what it isn't. We need to be sure that we understand the framing of the gospel message, the whole gospel, that it is God created, man sinned. God sent his one and only son, Jesus, who is the only way to be saved and the only way to be reconciled to God. And because of that, it calls for a response, not just with our words, but with our very lives. And once we're reconciled to God, well, then we can be reconciled to others. We can go in his power, not ours, to help heal a broken world. We need to be sure we know that gospel forwards and backwards, that we know how that gospel has impacted us. We need to be sure we know what the gospel is not. It's not Jesus and anything else. We never add to the gospel. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, period. And the temptation of so many is to try to add to the finished work of Christ. It's also not Jesus or anything else. Our world tells us today that there are many paths to God. That's not what Scripture says. Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You only come to God the Father through me. So we need to know the gospel, and we need to be ready to share that gospel. We need to be faithful to preach it to ourselves. Why? Because we forget it. We're prone to wander away from it. We need to preach it to other Christians in our congregations, at our campuses. Why? Because we're prone to forget it. You know, every morning we wake up, and there's a to-do list in our head. Every morning we wake up and we begin to scroll our social media feeds, and we begin to just be overwhelmed by the amount of bad news in the world. What if every morning when you woke up, you first preached the gospel to yourself? You reminded yourself, you know what? I'm a sinner saved by grace. I don't deserve God's mercy. I don't deserve his love. I don't deserve anything good, because there's no good naturally within me. But God, rich in mercy, has saved and rescued me. What if you preach that to yourself every morning before your feet even hit the floor? Meaning, hey, this is a good day. Why? It's the day the Lord has made. I'm saved. I'm rescued. I'm healed. Now I get to see what adventure he has in store for me. So we need to know that gospel. We need to preach that gospel. We need to live that gospel. Because I believe with all my heart that only the gospel has the deep resources to deal with the serious questions our world is asking. Economic disparity, breakdown of the family resulting in millions of vulnerable kids, teenagers in our communities, mental health crisis. Now artificial intelligence apparently is coming for us all, right? Man, what hope do we have? It feels so overwhelming. That's why we need a power greater than ourselves. It is the power of God to save. And this leads us to our third point this morning, which is this, is that we will not be ashamed of this gospel. Isn't it interesting the way that Paul puts that? Why does he frame it that way? Because he knew the temptation would be for us to be ashamed of the gospel. He wrote to the church at Corinth saying, listen, to the religious, this is going to be a stumbling block. To those who are far from Christ, it's going to be foolishness. Like, this is the answer the world's looking for. The temptation for us is going to be to shy away from the gospel and try to point in some other direction. But guess where that gets us? Nowhere. Because anything less than the gospel doesn't have the power of God behind it. Preaching team right now has been discussing a book. It's kind of the it book of the moment. That book is called, right, The De-Churching of America, The Great De-Churching. Did you realize we are in an era right now in which the greatest movement in American religious history is taking place? Prior to this moment, it was after the Civil War, when twice as many people started attending church than before. But now, since 2020, sadly, more people are leaving church than ever before. 40 million people who were attending church in 2000 are no longer in church. That's 16% of the adult population. It's interesting the remedies that the authors point to. They said, number one, 50% of people, actually a little bit more than that, about 51% of people would return to church if simply invited by a friend. Do you know what that tells me? We've lost confidence to even invite our friends to our churches. And that's a tragedy. And maybe that's because they're afraid they're not going to hear the gospel. They're not going to hear something that has the power to change their life. So we've got to regain that confidence in the gospel, knowing that in our churches, in our ministries, in our Bible studies, in our life groups, in our outreach, that the gospel is going to be proclaimed, because that's what changes lives. The authors also point to a failure in discipleship, because we have tried to point people to things other than Jesus, things that ultimately will not satisfy, things that ultimately cannot save. And so for us, we will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about it this way. About 50% of us, researchers tell us, will deal with cancer at some point in our own lifetimes. If you found a cure for cancer, would you not shout it from the mountaintops? Would we not go out into the streets? And yet there is a disease spiritually called sin that affects 100% of the population. We have the remedy. We have the cure. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet we keep it to ourselves. This is a day of good news. We can't keep it to ourselves. We need to share it. And so that's the vision for our church moving forward, is that we want to paint a picture of a church that is gospel first and always. As the old saying goes, a vision is a mental picture of what could be, fueled by the conviction that it should be. And so what does that picture look like? Well, first of all, the picture looks like this. We want to create a good news and grace-filled culture of churches at all of our campuses. It's time for the good news to be good again. It's time to let the lion out of the cage and see what God does as we embrace the broken and the hurting, the confused and those struggling at each of our campuses. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, by God's grace, I am what I am. That's all any of us are. And so myself, your campus pastor, your life group leader, we're all simply sinners saved by grace. We need to recognize and realize that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And we want to engage people in all of our neighborhoods from all walks of life with this good news of Jesus Christ. So let's create a good news culture. Number two, we want to equip you to have gospel conversations with the lost and searching. We want to equip you to have a gospel conversation with the lost and searching. We know we need to come alongside of you so you can boost your confidence, so you may be certain of what you know and be able to communicate that, so that you can share your testimony with others. We're going to spend time talking about that. We're going to put resources in your hands. We're going to have equipping opportunities for you in the days to come. But we're celebrating that we are seeing an increase in baptisms across our campuses. We praise God for that. In the year 2022, we had 237 baptisms across all campuses. This year, with 3 months still to go, we have 244 baptized already. Praise God for that. But I also want you to remember this. We have about 10,000 active members. Do you know what that means? It's taking 40 of us to see one person come to Christ and baptized. What if right now you begin praying for a lost and searching person that God has put near you? Maybe it's in your own home. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe it's in your school. But even if we got to the point that it took 10 of us to reach one, do you know that means we would have 1,000 baptisms next year? Do it, Lord. We pray for the increase. Why? Not because of anything we do, but because God moves when we're faithful to share his good news, when we're faithful to share the gospel. Let's create a culture of gospel conversations. And then last, but certainly not least, we will put the gospel into action in our communities. And in just a moment, your campus pastor is going to come to talk about how you're doing that, where you're at. But I love that word engage, because we need to engage. We've seen tremendous opportunities come when we help deal with issues like food insecurity, when we're able to minister to families with special needs, children and adults, when we're able to work with those who are deaf as we reach out to people from multiple nations using English as a second language, as we deal with a crisis in foster and adoption care. All of these provide gospel on-ramps where as we serve people, again, flowing out of the cross in the name of Jesus, they say, why are you here? Why are you doing this? And we point them not to ourselves, but to the good news of Jesus. We're here because he loves you and we want to tell you about him. So, church family, I want to remind you, this is a football. You probably know that already. But I also want to remind you of this, ladies and gentlemen, you don't go to church, you are the church. And so as we move forward, let's be sure that we're pointing to the gospel, that our energy is flowing from the gospel. You realize you are loved in the gospel, you are sent in the gospel, and I'm going to pray, and then your campus pastor is going to come to tell you more. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are so eternally grateful for what you've done for us. As Paul says, God, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is your power to save everyone who believes. And so, God, would you find us faithful to share that good news anywhere, anytime, with anybody? We can't wait to see what you're going to do through our gospel-centered and gospel-focused church in the days ahead. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for entrusting us with that mission. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I want to invite everybody to please stand. I've watched this video 4 or 5 times over the past couple days, and I am so excited about what I just heard. Even today, right there, as I was sitting there, I was like, man, should I say that? Should I add this to the few notes I have? And I am going to preach, but in Anglican terms, it's just going to be a short little homily. So it won't be that long. So don't worry. We might be at the back of the line at lunch, but don't worry about it. Romans chapter 1 is what we read earlier. We're going to read it again. Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. And I want to read this again because this is our verse for today. The sermon title for today is The Gospel First and Always. We are all about the gospel, is what we heard Pastor Jay say. But right here, as Paul told the Roman church, he tells us now, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. All right, I want to encourage everyone right now. You may be seated, but don't put your Bibles away. And if you only are using your smartphone to read scriptures, there are Bibles in the pew right in front of you. Take one out. We're going to do something. Jay used the example about Vince Lombardi. As he brought a football out, he said, gentlemen, this is a football. Take the Bibles in front of you and you look on the outside and you might see Holy Bible or Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. When I was a little kid growing up in the 70s, we learned a song. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Years later, in a Christian rap song, I heard this, the Bible. It's the basic B, instructions, I, before B, leaving L-E, earth. This is the Bible. And it's the basic instructions before leaving earth. The gospel. And we're going to talk about it next week and the following week as we talk about gospel conversations. What is the gospel? It is simply this. God created all things. He created you and me in his image. But we have sinned. We have fallen from him and we have fallen short of his glory. And as a result of our sin, We're dead. We breathe, we're alive, but we are dead in our sins. But God loved us so much that he gave his one and only son, Jesus. God in the flesh. He died on a cross according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures. He rose again according to the scriptures. And everyone, anyone who puts their faith in Jesus will be forgiven and will be given new life and will live forever with him in heaven. That is our hope. That is the gospel. And we're going to talk about it more in the weeks to come. Not only the month of October, but all the way up to Thanksgiving. And then we can party, right? The Bible. The basic instructions before leaving earth. There are three things that Jay talked about us today. Actually, there are a lot of things he shared with us. But there are three things that jumped off the page for me. The first one is this. We will be a gospel-centered church. As we sang today, it is all about Jesus. It is all about him. The second one is this. We will engage the whole person and the whole world with the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. Number three, we will not be ashamed of the gospel. We will talk a whole lot about that next week. The gospel. What does it mean for us here at the church at Woodbine? If you have a smartphone, take it out. Every Sunday, Amanda, usually sometimes it's me, sometimes it's Johnny. We talk about there's two things we want you to know. Say two. We want to know you. We want you to know us. And there's a simple number, 623-623, write the word bulletin in it. So if you do not receive our bulletin, type in 623-623 right now. And then write bulletin in the phrase, and you'll get the bulletin. If you don't have a smartphone, don't worry about it. Follow the prompts. I think Woodbine is the letter Q, but follow it. And then you'll receive our bulletin today. In our bulletin today, we have several things. One of the things that we want to do as a church, and it's one of the points that Jay gave us, is we want to engage the whole person, the whole world, with the whole gospel. We want to be a gospel presence here in Woodbine. We want to be, I want you to be a gospel presence wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you study, wherever you play. We don't go do ministry. We are ministry. We don't go and share the gospel. Yes, we share the gospel, but our lifestyle should reflect the gospel. We share it with our actions. We share it with our words. But as a church community right here in Woodbine, this month, this coming Saturday is movie night. Yes, we're going to watch Encanto. But one of the big reasons is we want to invite as many friends as we can. We've already invited the elementary schools here. We've invited the kids that came to day camp. We want you to invite your friends. It's having fun. It's building relationships. It has been said, you've got to earn the right to be heard. Now, there are going to be opportunities that God will give us with strangers on the street, at the checkout line, wherever. And we take advantage of that. While at the same time, being bold and sharing the love of Jesus with those closest to us, family members, neighbors, friends, coworkers. So right here in Woodbine, this is where we worship, and we're going to be salt and light in this neighborhood. And one of the ways we do that is developing relationships. So invite your friends to this movie, hang out, have fun. It's going to be chilly. It's going to be sunny. People won't know how much you care. No, people won't know how much you know until they know how much you care. In the bulletin, it talks about movie night. It also talks about gospel conversation that you'll see right here, lunch group, Bible storytelling, this Thursday, October 5th. I know most of you work, but once a month, the first Thursday of every month, in partnership with Project Connect, one of our ministry partners, we will do gospel conversation training. It's called Story. And if you've ever heard Dustin Denning talk about Story, it's an amazing tool to share the gospel. That's another way to equip each of us for gospel conversations. And then we have Fall Fiesta. It's in our bulletin. Fall Fiesta is October 21st, Saturday. a lot like movie night. It's connecting us with the neighborhood. Some of you guys live in this neighborhood. Most of us don't. And we need to be salt and light where we work, live, play, and worship. What else? Something that I love about our church here is our ministry partners. We partner with Begin Anew. They do ESL classes Monday night, Thursday night. They do citizenship classes. It is an incredible opportunity to serve our community, to make friends with those people internationals. One of the main reasons we have these flags here is to celebrate the diversity of God's great creation and humanity, and to celebrate the people who He's given us and connected us to over the years, who are represented by these flags here in this congregation or where our global workers are serving right now. So Begin Anew is one partner. Another one is Project Connect, is another ministry partner that we partner with, and many of you help serve and Begin Anew and Project Connect. It's a great way to share the gospel. Another way is with our elementary schools, Witsit and Aventura. We're praying for 20 Witsit families to join our church. May we do it. And then there's a newer ministry partner that meets here almost every Monday, Young Life. It's partnered with Glencliff High School. I asked Braden on purpose to open in prayer today because he's one of those Young Life leaders. I counted 16 of those high school kids here last Monday night. It was awesome. As these leaders are loving on those kids, sharing the gospel with them. The gospel is preached. Sarah did an incredible job. And if you want to partner with Young Life, you absolutely can. Talk with Braden. I'm totally putting him on the spot. Those are practical ways and connections that we have, we do as a church body. But more and most importantly, our lifestyles should reflect Jesus so that when people see us, they see Jesus shining through our words, our actions, and our attitudes. The gospel first and always. May we reflect the love of Jesus to all those around us. Worship team, I want to invite you to come forward. I want to invite everyone to stand up. And as we close with our closing song of worship, we don't just go do this song. It's an act of worship. But some of our friends will be over here at Next Steps. We would love to pray with you. Maybe you're here for the first time, or you've been here for numerous months or years, and you yourself have never put your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. We'd love to pray with you to do that or talk with you about that. You might have come in here barely making it, but knowing that you need to worship, you're carrying heavy burdens. We would love to walk with you and pray with you. So if you need prayer, come over to the Next Steps. We'd love to pray with you. And finally, for all of us, I want us to lay at Jesus' feet our whole selves, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel, but that we would make the most of every opportunity that God gives us to share the life and love and hope that only Jesus can give. Back to the basics. This is the Bible. It is the basic instructions before leaving earth. May we submit to it and live it out every day. Let's worship Him.